Right, so continuing on our devotional series on a call to prayer, and all of us recognize we need to pray, but many times we find it's sort of Jesus taught that men ought always to pray and not to faint, but we kind of get it mixed around and we always faint and don't pray, kind of thing, right? Our flesh finds many excuses not to, and so I think it's valuable to have motivation from God's Word to kind of encourage us to pray. And so we want to look at this passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And this is dealing with a situation during the reign of King Jehoshaphat. And we see his prayer and we see God's deliverance. So I'm just going to read good chunk of the chapter, and then we'll talk through it. It came to pass after this also, the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Jordan. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem, the house of the Lord, before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein, and for thy name, saying, if, when evil cometh upon us, as a sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come out, to cast us out of thy possession which thou hast given us to inherit. O God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite, of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. He said, hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them, behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites, the children of the Korahites, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth in the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers in the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which had come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them, and when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry, and they were 3 days in gathering the spoil. It was so much. So we see in this passage here that Jehoshaphat and the people of Jerusalem and Judah, that they're facing a threat far beyond their capability to confront. And I think that it may not be for us some great battle, even though we kind of think in terms of times past in our history. We think of World War II and the war machine that Hitler had been able to amass during the 30s, and how it seemed at one point to be unstoppable. And so I guess we have maybe a bit of a perspective of that in some ways, but we see with this here, this great multitude of these three nations' armies that have united to attack God's people. And we see the response of Jehoshaphat, and we see it's the right response, because a lot of times we have a problem that's too big for us. We start trying to connive and think, how can I fix this? And a lot of times we'll worry ourselves to death trying to come up with something and finding this doesn't work and this doesn't work. But we see with Jehoshaphat that God was not his last resort. God was his first resort. That Jehoshaphat saw the challenge that faced him, and he said, I need to seek God. I need his help. And I think that's for us, that there's times where maybe individually we're facing a challenge that it's just like, this is way beyond what I can fight against myself. There's just too many forces and resources arrayed against me. And we look at it from a human perspective as being almost a hopeless case, that we have no hope outside of God. And so it's in those times that we need to say, okay, I need to seek the Lord. And so we see that he proclaimed a fast, and so we understand that from the scriptures. Fasting is something that people do where really you denied your physical wants and desires in order to focus on spiritual things. And it's something that really isn't much thought of or practiced exactly, but we realize that there's a significance to it. And I'm reminded of the one time where I was forced to take a fast, and it was actually a good experience, because a few years ago I ended up having food poisoning. And I had all kinds of problems with my digestive system as a result. And so I went in to get checked out and hoped they'd just give me something to send me on my way. But they kept me in the hospital for 3 days. And they said, you can't eat anything. And so it was like the first day, it was just driving me crazy. And, of course, watching the food channel, that didn't help either. But it was something after going through it, after about a day where you're doing it, then it's like you kind of lose that, like that distraction of, oh, my stomach is hungry. It just kind of, for whatever reason, it at that point it just says, okay, I'm not getting fed, so I'm just going to kind of shut up for a while. And so then that's when you can actually focus. So you kind of see with that he's saying, okay, as a nation, we need to seek the Lord. That he was doing it as a king, and he was calling on his people to do that. And that's something that you really think about it. How long has it been in our country that we would have a leader that would actually do that? It's quite a remarkable thing. But it is really, I think, what we need. But we see that as a nation, as a people, and we see that they came out of all the cities, that they said, okay, we're going to have a big national prayer meeting, and we're just going to ask God's help. They're seeking the Lord's help. And so as they're gathered together, he stands up before them and he leads them in prayer. and he recognizes God's power. He knows what God is able to do, and he knows God's promise. We see that in verse 9 of how he talks about when they cry unto thee that thou will hear and help. That we think of during when they dedicated the temple, of just God's promises to Solomon, that when they cried that God would hear them. And so he lays out the problem to them. But I think really we see the crux of the prayer in verse 12, where he says, "For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." And so we see that they're recognizing that we don't have the strength to deal with this challenge. We don't have the wisdom to deal with this challenge. And I think many times that's the place where we have to get to. It's kind of, we need to have sometimes a crisis in our life, a threat that is way bigger than us, to really cause us to turn to the Lord. And it's as we do so where we recognize that it's not something where kind of just, I got it mostly, God just kind of pushed me over the hump kind of thing. It's like, we're hopeless without you, Lord. We need help. And so we see there that they prayed and that their eyes are upon thee. It says, Lord, we need you to do something. We need you to intervene because we don't have a solution. And we see that they stood there. And it's interesting because it wasn't just the men or anything like that. We see that the whole family, like everyone came as a nation, old and young, male and female, to pray. And so then we have a prophet that speaks up, Jehaziel, and he says, don't be afraid or dismayed. The battle is God's. Go down and you won't need to fight. He says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And he says, don't be afraid, don't be dismayed. The Lord is going to be with you. And so we have this prophecy he's saying God is with you. You can trust the Lord. You don't need to fight. And so we see that they recognize this as an answer from God, and they worship the Lord for this answer. And it's really incredible because you think of what we see here, and it really indicates their faith in God, because they have this huge army that they're going against, and they're not getting all their armor on and getting all their spears and swords ready, that they're all going out there. And we see that basically what they're doing is they're singing as they go. And you think, these guys are crazy. They're going to get slaughtered. But then what happens is, it says, and when they began to sing in the praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Israel, Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. And so what actually ends up happening is these three nations that formed an alliance against God's people, that they basically turned on each other and basically wiped each other out. And so God's people, they kind of show up kind of thinking, well, what's going to happen? But they're singing, they're praising the Lord because he says the Lord's going to fight for them. And they get there and it's like all their enemies are dead. And we find that they, as was the practice, when you have a defeated army, you go in and you take spoils of war. And we find it was more than they could carry. There 3 days in gathering the spoil, it was so much. I remember one veteran of World War II, where I know that they've sometimes said with Canadian soldiers is that soldiers of Britain and France fight for fame and glory, and Canadian soldiers fight for souvenirs. And because they're always, it seems that there's a tendency to bring back stuff to show people back home. And so this one guy, he worked as a mechanic, and he was fairly short in stature. And they had announcement like anybody bringing back contraband, different things like guns and other things, that they might be delayed in going back. And so he actually saw this one officer. He had some pearl-handled Lugers that the guy actually threw off the side of the boat into the water just so he wouldn't have to delay. But this guy, he had so much stuff packed in his bags that as he was walking up the plank into the ship, he actually had to pause because he was tired out. And he was able to get over, and he brought all this stuff home to show his family. But it just kind of reminded me kind of this, where it's sort of like at the beginning of the war against Hitler, it almost seemed like he was an unstoppable force. And then at the end, it was like he had all these Canadian guys bringing home as much souvenirs as they could from their battle kind of thing. And so it's just kind of the same picture of how God can change things in different ways as we seek Him. But it's really, in terms of personally, I think, when we look at this, it's really something to think about, of just whatever problems we might be facing, and there are going to be times where we face a problem that's just too big for us to handle, that we can't think or connive or finagle our way out of it. We can't avoid it. It's coming, and we don't have the strength. We don't know what to do. And it's in those moments that I think we don't want to panic. We don't want to worry ourselves sick and just cripple ourselves with anxiety. There's those moments that the Lord brings on your life because He's wanting to show Himself strong on our behalf. And so it's in those moments where we set ourselves to seek the Lord, and we just say, Lord, I don't know what to do. And what happens when we do that is the Lord says, I've got this. It's stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. It's not something where you have to fix this. I'll fix this. And so when we have that kind of command or response from the Lord to our prayers, He just kind of gives us a peace. And that's the thing, is that we're to be careful for nothing, but we're to give with everything, with prayer and supplication, make a request known unto God. It says, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall fill our hearts and mind. And so it's kind of, we pray, we set this before the Lord, and then when He gives us, a lot of times as we seek Him, He gives us an answer, and it may not be any kind of actual audible voice or anything like that, but a lot of times it can just be this kind of peace within where, okay, He says you don't need to pray for that anymore because I've got this. And then it's what happens is then you actually go out and you find out, okay, He has solved this, and I can't claim it or anything like that. It's not me that did this. This is God's doing, and it's a wonderful thing to see. And so encourage you, just kind of as we meditate upon this passage, of just seeing Jehoshaphat's heart, seeing his prayer, and seeing God's response, that God is still the same God now as He was back then. And so when we have what seems to be an insurmountable problem, we take it to the Lord. He can do the miraculous and fix. He can fight for us, and we just get to stand back and watch and enjoy the spoils of war, of what He has won for us.